The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday. Man in line for Monday lunchtime. Yesterday, Manx Care reported 78 positive test results, comprising 69 LFTs and 9 PCR results. So 78 positive tests yesterday. That makes 1,190 known active cases of COVID-19, made up of 952 LFT reported, 238 PCR. Well, we're certainly heading down in trajectory. If we go on like this, it'll be certainly less than 1,000 known active cases of COVID-19. We've got 11 people in Nobles, nobody in ICU. And from the vaccination dashboard, 68,978 first doses have been administered. That is 87% of the eligible population has had a first jab. 65,808 second doses, 95% of the eligible population. 1,570 third doses and 46,707 boosters. That's 71% of the eligible population has had the vaccination for boosting. Total vaccination so far, 183,063, and Manx Care's holding 8,476 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. That's where we stand. That is what's happening today.
If you're really, really cold, you don't spend your time thinking about learning or actually learning anything. You spend your time worrying about how cold you are and how miserable you are.
That's what's happening in classrooms, apparently.
But at some point, we have to get to the stage where all restrictions are lifted and we carry on with living with COVID in the best possible way.
That's where we are. Everybody seems to think that we're on the outward trajectory of COVID. I just wonder what your thoughts are and anything else that's on your mind, possibly about our tram of the year. It's true. The tram of the... we'll come to that in a moment. I drove along the prom for the first time, says Desmond. I don't know what all the fuss is about. I take it the grey crossings are courtesy crossings. Is that a dirty word? As for the roundels, I'd imagine you manoeuvre your car in a manner laid out down in the highway code. It's a case of driving with due care and attention. Trouble is, lots of people learn the highway code and the driving test parrot fashion and forget it as soon as they pass the test. That may be true, Des. Trouble is, what do you do when that happens? If people don't take any notice or make up their own rules on the roundels, we'll find out as we head towards TET. Last week, says Kath, it was announced that the minimum wage was to be increased by over £1 an hour. This made me wonder, what about what rise the pensioners on the Isle of Man can expect from April? Assuming the two are linked, that is, Kath, will the Isle of Man follow the UK and suspend the triple lock, or will the Isle of Man give a different award now that we have a separated pension scheme over here? Thanks for that point. And by the way, did you know apparently today, it being the 17th of January, is apparently supposed to be the most depressing day of the year, if you take notice of what other people say. So if you want to cheer yourself up, if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, go to Manx Radio's Facebook page, and there's a lovely video there, including some gorgeous drone footage about how wonderful the Isle of Man is. If you want to just cheer yourself up, go to Manx Radio's Facebook page. And also James says, increasing the air routes to Dublin. Dr. Allenson says we're supposed to be increasing the air routes to Dublin. Well, they don't start until March, do they? Increasing from none. I think it's a bit of a joke. The Isle of Man did nothing. Aer Lingus themselves bought back the regional routes, says James. The government has always said, James, that they don't want, they're not interested in running an airline. We've asked and asked and asked and asked and asked. We bought the steam packet. We have a state-run or state-owned ferry service. But in terms of buying an airline, much was talked about during pandemic. Do you remember, the chief exec from Aurigny came when Aurigny did the air bridge to Guernsey. and Guernsey own Aurini. Not even Jersey owns that. Guernsey own it. And they do it mainly because the seas around Alderney are very rough and they need to maintain a connection with Alderney into Guernsey. I mean, the route between Alderney and Guernsey loses a thumping amount every year. So, James, I don't know, would you suggest that we should buy an airline and what all the inferences that that has? All right, text, email and call, and lots of messages in today. Pensioners are having a bad time financially and the triple lock on pensions has been scrapped, says Pat. Many pensioners would return to work to ease staff shortages, but many won't because they're going to get taxed. Why don't we allow pensioners to earn, let's just say £200 a week, £10,000 a year, tax-free on top of their pensions? You would help pensioners lead a better life, and you would solve the shortage of labour and skills on the island. Many pensioners are highly skilled people. On the 17th of January 2020, 2 years ago today, a groundbreaking ceremony took place at the Princess Half Tide Dock in Liverpool, marking the start of the construction of the new ferry terminal for Manx passengers in Liverpool. The new improved walk a quarter of a mile terminal. Since then, the expected cost has just gone up and up. Well, we never expected it to go down, but it soared. And the facility is yet to open. We don't even know when it's going to open. So when will the ferry terminal in Liverpool be complete, shiny and new with clean carpets?
So what does it mean for visitors to the Isle of Man if the site isn't ready this summer? I spoke to Enterprise Minister Dr. Alex Allinson.
I think everyone shares frustrations at the delays to the Liverpool landing stage because it was designed to really help with the relaunch of TT in 2023. And we're doing a lot of work to look at the way TT's run, both for the benefit of visitors, but for the people of our island. And so further delays that have been mentioned recently in terms of Liverpool, obviously, are frustrating. However, we're still on track. We've still got those routes into Liverpool, into Heysham. What we're doing now in DfE is trying to increase also the range of air routes going backwards, both to the UK, but also to the Republic of Ireland as well, to get that connectivity to allow residents to get off the island when they want to, but also allow their friends and for visitors to visit when they want to as well. And I am still confident that we can have a decent tourist season both this year and next. But when the Liverpool landing stage is up operational, that gives us then the catalyst to grow some of the visitor economy, but also provide some first-class facilities for Isle of Man residents to visit the UK.
So this year we're going to have to rely more on air routes, you say. Are you hoping that Liverpool will be open for the tourist season next year?
In terms of the connectivity, a lot of people choose to take the ferry, and those links to Liverpool and Heysham are still there, and I think people will have that confidence to use them more and more. And we know that passenger numbers, in terms of the steam packet, are very good. But also we need to give people the choice, particularly if they're only going over for a day or so, and so increase their routes and getting back to the situation that we were in 2019 is very important, both for the Isle of Man economy, the visitor economy, but for the Isle of Man people as well.
Well, we contacted the DOI for an update on the expected completion date, and no, it's not happened yet. If you're looking to a note in from Ronnie, who just said, when does the Fastcraft start to Liverpool and where's it going to berth? Well, it starts on Friday. Don't get this. Don't take this. Friday, April the 1st, it starts. Friday, April the 1st, the Fastcraft starts to Liverpool. So it will be going where it's always gone for the moment, at the pierhead, because I understand their cruise terminal is behind schedule. It's catching. So Friday the 1st of April, as Easter is late this year. Thank you, Ronnie, in for that. And how do you feel about that regarding pensioners? If you're of pensionable age, if you've officially retired, how would you feel about being able to earn money, solve the Isle of Man skill and labour shortage, perhaps do work and earn, I don't know, £10,000, £5,000 a year, tax-free? How would that work for you? Do you think that will be a good idea? You don't want to know my feelings about the COVID and the pandemic, says Gary in Ramsey. Gary. Texter 921. We've been through all this before. Gary, pick the phone up. If Gary is your real name, just pick the phone up, Gary, and please give us a call. Please stop accusing everybody of not wanting to listen to you, Gary. We love you, Gary. We'd love to hear from you, Gary. Please be brave. Please call 66 1368. Tell us what you really mean, Gary. On the same token, well, actually, the other side of the token, Timmy said, will you stop giving airtime to all the anti-maskers and anti-vaccine heads? The debate is over. The debate is over. The vast majority of Manx citizens have taken the vaccinations. Will the anti-maskers and anti-vaccine heads please pay attention, says Timmy. It's over. The majority has spoken. Gary, please give us a call. Gary, we love you. We'd love to hear what you have to say, Gary. How do we know the latest tsunami was caused by a volcanic eruption? Was it another missile being fired into the sea, says Crystal. I don't know, Crystal. But if you do, tell us all about it. And here's a message, Jim. Will that do all the young folks out of a job? If older... Well, take a look at the unemployment statistics. It's a tiny, tiny percentage of people who are out of work, and there are lots of jobs available on the Isle of Man. Now, they're talking about relaxing the work permit system to bring lots of people in. I don't know whether you think that will be a good idea. Politicians are always talking about growing the population of the Isle of Man. So if we have a tiny minority of people unemployed and lots of vacancies, would that be such a bad thing to let retired people take some of those jobs, earn some more money, and perhaps not pay any tax? Here's David now. Hello, David.
You better sign me up, because I'll probably be one of them. Listen, I just want a quick thing about the Liverpool landing stage there. What? And it's to do with variations to contract. That's a big word going to be for 2022. What are the Public Accounts Committee doing for investigating, well, the promenade, investigating the Liverpool landing stage and all the hiccups that's gone? There must be a massive amount of paper trail there who approved this, because you can't extend a contract you've already signed unless it's a variation to a contract, which has to be signed by or endorsed by at least a minister or the council of ministers, or brought up through the ranks from a chief executive and then onto Parliament. So regarding the Liverpool, what's going to happen there? I thought the Minister for Star Trek Enterprise was a bit weak on giving you the interview for the Isle of Man's Open for Business. He was a bit droll, if I could say it, quiet. He wasn't saying, we're open for business. This is where you come. This is a telephone number you can ring. We now own the steam packet, so the boats will be running, and let's get moving. Let's have a good summer.
Well, I think by common consent, Mr. Crookall knows he's been handed a big steaming pile of manure, shall we say.
Oh, definitely on that. And the other thing was, too, a little criticism from Manx Radio. It's only small. Is one of your reporters said this morning, there was he was talking about the Liverpool place and he was talking about Everton's new stadium, and he mentioned there was only 7 Everton supporters on the Isle of Man. I think he needs to be looking a bit better than that.
Oh, the Everton Fans Club will have... Oh, listen, I just need a bit of information for you. This is not in your official capacity, but where... But where does Onken's responsibility for the fence on Douglas Promenade... Does it start at the bottom by Derby Castle?
Yeah, it's Summerland. If you go down, if you'll see it, and I think, and this may be a little controversial thing, I think Douglas pinched a little bit. To tell you the truth, it used to be the lights coming down from Port Jack Chippy.
Yeah.
Coming down, you'll notice that the railings are green, and then they suddenly change colour. And then you'll see a board which says, Onken and Laxey, if you're coming out of Douglas. That was the official boundary.
Right.
or the boundary was there somewhere.
So is there's a sign that says Onken, isn't there, on the left-hand side as you're going up towards Bulljack?
Yeah. And that's I think that's the true boundary, and that's where we probably lost about 10 feet.
So you're not responsible for those dreadful blue plastic-covered railings on Douglas Promenade that are just rusting and disintegrating?
No, it's a blue and nothing to do with us. Blue is usually Douglas.
Right.
But I must admit, and because you put me onto it now, when I go down there, the lights are terrible. And I know somebody put up an old picture of the festoon lighting. It looked like the Riviera.
Yeah.
And I think if people are going to take pictures of the promenade now, they'd be lucky to see it in the mist.
Well, I just wonder, because Douglas Promenade, I know it's not finished yet, and I know, but certainly
it's awful.
The walkway is untidy. Yeah. The railings are disintegrating. There's masonry coming off. It looks tired.
And we have no direction. There's no direction there from somebody to say, well, this is what we're going to do, but it won't happen this year. Maybe happen next year. So what are we doing to protect the people regarding health and safety? Like the flumes, isn't it? They had 12 cases. On the first or second case, they should have had it inspected and closed it down.
And I think this is part of it, is when the public notices little things going wrong, suddenly if lots of little things start to go wrong, and we talked about it loads during the election period and during the local election, it's confidence in politicians.
Well, yeah. And to be fair to them, because I used to be one, it's difficult if you haven't got the money, you're not earning it, and the Treasury Minister's got to create something. And is it, when the budget comes, is he going to put money on the NI?
We'll see.
He's got to feed that hospital.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, David, thanks for calling.
See you, boy. Bye.
All right, 23 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. The story about the... I remember on the day, it was 2 years ago, when Sean Cowper was live. Sean was there in a hard hat and heels on the building site, taking us through what was happening at Prince's Half-Tide Dock. We were full of expectation. Brand new terminal. It's going to be really nice, next to all the sleek apartments in Liverpool. And we are no closer to it. We don't even have a date. Not even a date. Possible date as to when it's going to be finished. But the Grand Prix will take place later this year, with a number of changes to the festival announced. 2022's Manx Grand Prix will now run for 9 days instead of 14. Starts on Sunday the 21st of August, finishes on August Bank Holiday Monday the 29th. The organisers say it's going to allow for sufficient marshalling cover for each session and reducing the overall net cost of the races to you, the taxpayer. It's also aimed at minimising the impact of road closures on residents and businesses.
Well, there's a lot of inquiries coming in for entries for the Manx Grand Prix already. Entries aren't open yet, but we've had inundated with inquiries.
That's Neil Bowers of the Manx Motorcycle Club. And he says, well, as you heard, things are positive.
Particularly for newcomers for the Manx Grand Prix this year. I think this is consistent with the response that has been received for the TT, which has been a very strong entry so far, and we'd expected the same for the Manx Grand Prix. There's a lot of interest in road racing in general, and it's actually undergoing a bit of a revival in Ireland as well after a couple of lean years.
How confident are you that you can see the same level of spectator interest, for example, given that the races have now been gone for a couple of years?
I think the spectator interest will actually follow the rider interest, that they do run hand in hand. It's always been a good following for the Manx Grand Prix, and particularly for the classic races as well, because those have been quite extensively promoted in the last 10 years. And we expect, with renewed promotion now from the department, that we will get a much higher profile for the event, and that will assuredly attract more spectators and supporters.
Ending the designation of the Classic TT and now having the Manx Grand Prix and Classic Grand Prix, you know, classic machines will still be involved. But what's the thinking behind that, I suppose, name and classification change?
We always have been running classic races in the Manx Grand Prix since 1983. But it was thought 10 years ago the department could better promote that as a Classic TT. The thinking now is that having a single brand rather than two brands is better, which I would agree with. And it is far easier to promote a single Manx Grand Prix rather than a Manx Grand Prix and a Classic TT. It gets better brand identification.
There he was, Ned Bowers of the Manx Motorcycle Club, and details of the race classes and qualifying and race schedule are at manxradio.com. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I just put the radio on in the car and I listened to David there. The Raylands, I think, and I'm prepared to stand corrected on this, they were put in when the Promenade Walkway was resurfaced after
1998, they were done.
That's right. It was after the Ida scheme, because over outside the Queen's, that structure there's a huge tank there, and that's a breathing point for it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it goes away along to the where your village used to be. But I have a funny feeling they were of an alloy base, those railings that went in, and that's why now with the salt and getting underneath the paint, we term it as rust, but it's actually it's a zinc and it's a corrosive effect, and they will eventually fall over. But they were put in, they were cheap and nasty to start with. But anybody of any age will remember the ones along the sea terminal end of the promenade. They were always, well, right the way along, actually, they were always cast iron, cast steel, and they used to be chipped off most winters, or every winter virtually, and that. You wouldn't expect to do it now. Health and safety and all this are prevented. But they used to have the prisoners down there chipping away metal all in the spring, and then they'd be painted up and tidy. But that preserved those rails at the time. But there's been nothing done to these other railings, plastic coated or otherwise, and they are eventually just going to fail. But and then you're saying about the sea terminal, the terminal at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I saw the other night on the news at tea time that Everton have now started in a flurry building their new stadium, which is only a stone's throw away from the terminal building. And what's the betting? I'd put £100 down that that football pitch and everything will be ready long, long before any ships come into our terminal in Liverpool.
It just makes you wonder, doesn't it? It makes you wonder who knew what about that sea terminal.
Well, there's an awful lot of fellas bailed out of the press government, MHKs, etc., that didn't want to be counted. And now the new ones coming in, they hit the ground running, but they got no shoes on. They don't know what it's all about. We've had the top man in the DOI, who must have an influence on it somewhere. He's jumped ship. So we now have a rudderless boat heading out to nowhere. And the man that's taken the helm now, well, God help him, he's been handed a poison chalice, because God knows what's coming up behind him now, and it's going to bite him in the bum.
Well, you can guarantee, Howard, there will be one thing that will be delivered on time, and that is the new boat, because it's coming from Korea.
Exactly. And this is why somebody on your programme there, not so very long ago, asked, why didn't we get it built in Britain? Well, as I came on, I said, well, there's two vessels sitting up in Scotland at the moment that were being built by a Scottish company for Calmac. They're 3 years overdue, millions, about £30 million over budget, and they still haven't even got in the water yet. But that's why the steam packet made the right decision, went to Korea, to the shipyard out there. But it's time, and seriously time, because the people that's in there in the government stood up, put their heads above the curbs, not the pavements. They haven't got as high as the pavements yet. And stood up to be counted. And there should be serious questions, and I would publicly ask for an inquiry into what went on in all aspects of the DOI.
Well, we'll see. And certainly, I mean, the Chief Minister has hinted, in fact, more than hinted, the fact that DOI is going to be broken up and reorganised.
It's going to be broken up, yes. But as Howard Quayle said to me one time, if you want to eat an elephant, you've got to break it into little pieces. But if you break it into pieces, there's no guarantee you're going to find all the bad bits.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
29 minutes to one. And John dropped a note in just to say the least interesting aspect of Le Mans in France is the race that spends 24 hours speeding to exactly where it started from. Isn't it time we had a similar debate about the TT? We live in a cocoon, this is John's opinion, where we assume the world lives for road racing. I don't think it does. And all the talk about showcasing the island to the rest of the world, I think, is a delusion. Having travelled the continent in my motorhome for the last 18 years, I can assure you most people are put off the Isle of Man as a destination, quoting, as well as the price of getting here, the problem that would take a brave person to stand for election on this platform. John, maybe you'll stand. Shocking moment, the Isle of Man, is the TT Grand Prix. I can't believe the Chamber of Commerce are saying we should end isolation. Thankfully, I've kept myself well. I have two family members who've been very ill with COVID. I want to go into premises knowing that they're as safe as possible, not to be served by somebody who's got COVID. It's not the right time to lift all restrictions. It's not just about the economy. It is very much about our health. That's the word on whether or not we should have restrictions or what indeed should happen.
At some point, we have to get to the stage where all restrictions are lifted and we carry on with living with COVID in the best possible way.
Metals, metals, AMB metals. For steel, appeal. The number you need is for steel. That's metals. Metals, AMB Metals.
For structural steel and cladding, collection or delivery, with installation available too, just call 4Steel. That's 457881.
Metals, Metals, AMB Metals.
Conister Bank are proud to be part of Isle of Man Government's Disruption Loan Guarantee Agreement, supporting businesses affected by the pandemic. Conister Bank has helped many local businesses to survive and continue to trade. The scheme has now been extended until March the 31st, 2022. So if your business has been affected and you require financial support, we're here to help, even if you're not an existing customer. Call Conister now on 694 694 or apply via our website. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, class, it's time to learn the ABCs of car buying. Pay attention to the back. A is for Athol Garage, where the A-team will look after you. B is for Balasala, the home of Athol Garage, where you'll always find a hand-picked choice of quality used cars. And if they don't have it, they'll find it for you. C is for Confidence, which is what you can buy with. Visit athol.co.im or call 820082. Athol Garage, where buying a great car is as easy as ABC.
The Big Big Sale. Big Big Sale.
It's the Miller Chap's genuine Big Big Sale with amazing discounts across the store.
The Big Big Sale.
Find huge discounts in all departments, from furniture to flooring and beds to accessories, with great bargains for every home.
The Big Big Sale.
Now is the time to give your home a makeover with fantastic store-wide reductions at Miller Chap's, the island's amazing furnishing department store. So don't delay.
The Big Big Sale.
Visit the Miller Chap's of Ramsey Big Big Sale.
On Agenda Tonight, I talk to an MHK who, depending on which side of the debate you're on, either has the fate of civilization as we know it to try to rescue or is going to charge you loads of green taxes for no good reason. Controversy and conflict undoubtedly lie ahead, but does DEFA Minister Claire Barber possess the wisdom of Solomon needed to deal with the challenges her department is expected to address? Tune in to tonight's Agenda at 6pm, also available as a Manx Radio podcast with me, Phil Gorn, and you can decide for yourself. Thoughtful, considered, with just a hint of mischief. But how long will her honeymoon last?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, Faster Mike, 25 to 1. Beastie, hello.
Hello. I'm phoning without giving this too much thought because it's just something I've heard on the news. Okay. But I think your listeners ought to be aware of it. I may have misunderstood, but did I hear that from this year there will no longer be electoral register paper forms sent out?
No,
yes, you're absolutely right, dog. And if that is so, have they learned absolutely nothing from the census chaos?
Well, they said, I mean, at the time, I think it was Ray Harmer was infrastructure. He said the census went very well.
Really?
Well, they
from
said...
whose perspective?
Well, who knows? But, I mean, there's not been that much kickoff after the census, apparently. I mean, it all worked. So where did you hear this?
Just now on the news, just before Man in Line started. I'm sure I heard that from this year there will be no electoral register paper form sent out and that it would have to be done online. Now, this raises a number of points. First of all, everybody listen to the news and see if I've got this right. But if it is true... the census has been done some time now, and one thing that would be really easy to give us the figures, because there's no computation has to be done, it's just a case of adding up, and that is how many households on the island do not have internet access. Because if I've heard correctly, to make sure you're on the electoral register, you will have to go online to make sure.
And you heard it on Manx Radio?
Yeah! I'm sure I wasn't dreaming, but if this is true, as I say, did they learn nothing from the census that people, if people have not got internet access, are they going to lose their right to vote? One or two things, as I say, I haven't thought too much about it because it's only just happened, but things such as, first of all, if you're not on that electoral register, then you lose your right to vote. On the paper form, you can, if you want to, tick a box to say that you don't want to be on the public list, you only want to be on the private one, so that all sorts of firms that use your addresses don't have access to your address. Is that how is that going to be done? Also, you have to be on the electoral register. It's a requirement for some civil activities. For instance, if you're standing for election in local elections, you have to be on the electoral register. So it isn't just a case of being able to vote. But if you move and you don't have internet access, I mean, the whole thing, who has come up with this? Have they actually thought it through?
Well, we'll try and dig to the bottom of this. So, I mean, you're on the internet, aren't you, Beastie?
Oh, come on! You fool!
You know
I'm not.
Why aren't you on the web?
Andy, you may be aware that some years ago I was politically quite active for various reasons, and I relied on the internet quite a lot at that time. I've been using a computer since the 80s, and round about 2010, something like that, I could see social media coming in, and I didn't like the look of what was happening. And I decided that if I was in it, I wouldn't be able to see it. So I pulled the plug. Now I'm completely outside. I'm outside of a lot of things. But I can see it in an unbiased way because I'm not involved in it. And I'll tell you what, it's scary.
So you made a conscious decision to retreat from...
I pulled the plug, yeah.
And was the one particular, a day that you woke up and thought, I've had enough?
No, it just started to gain pace. It gained pace. And once the internet stopped being used for academic research, this sort of thing, and it started to be used for gossip and just lighthearted things, and social media, I thought this is now going in the wrong direction. This is dangerous. This can just gonna, it's going to blow up in our face, which of course it now is. So I pulled the plug so I could stand back and watch.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Beastie. Good to hear from you.
See what you can find out. But it's just alerting people. And what about people who don't listen to Manx Radio? Yes, there are some. Yes, there are.
Are there?
It hasn't been thought through, as usual. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Beastie. All the best. Vivian's with us now. Hi, Vivian.
Hiya. It's the case of I heard the same thing on the 12 o'clock news as Beastie did.
What, and you heard the fact that it'll be not paper electoral, the electoral roll?
Yes, it was on the 12 o'clock news.
Presumably, you don't think that's a good idea.
I think there'll be lots that will have a problem. And perhaps it's like the census, they should have the choice of having either. But there again, at least with the forms sent out, they know who returns them and who doesn't.
How much do you use the internet, Vivian?
Very little.
Do you use it for anything at all?
Not really. It doesn't interest me. I know that's the wrong thing to say in this day, but I have other people that will use it for me if required.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Vivian.
That's all right.
I appreciate that. 19 minutes to one. The sea terminal will be another prom. Flumes, Richmond Hill. And then like the flumes and Richmond Hill, the prom, it'll be closed for repairs. Please don't say that. It's going to be just one of those things that goes on and on and on. Why is parking still free at the airport, says Dave in Douglas. It's a ridiculous way to run a commercial enterprise. The lost revenue must be huge, says Dave. Maybe they could use some of the revenue to employ somebody to clip the hedges. When will the time be right to remove all COVID-19 restrictions, including the need to isolate with COVID? The need to stay at home with coronavirus has meant that more than half of the customer-facing businesses who responded to a recent Chamber of Commerce survey have had to close or reduce their opening hours in recent weeks because of staff shortages. About two-thirds say they'd be in favour of removing all measures to allow the economy and perhaps life to get back to normal. Now, the chief exec of the Chamber of Commerce is Rebecca George.
This has to happen when the time is right. But it's certainly thoughts that are going around people's heads at the moment. And it is being muted in the UK and other jurisdictions. At some point, we have to get to the stage where all restrictions are lifted and we carry on with living with COVID in the best possible way. We were keen to just get the feel from local businesses as to whether they would support, full lifting of restrictions, testing, isolation, and, that gives a good indication of where people's minds are. But of course, we would always say that this has to happen at the right time. We would hope that they could go back to what it was like 2 years ago, back to normal trading, the way things used to be, with full customer demand, full staffing, and back to normal.
Is government listening to this feedback?
Absolutely, absolutely. We've seen a direct result of passing data and evidence to government that changes have made. So, for example, one of the changes was widening the sectors that were receiving the winter disruption scheme. There were some sectors that were falling and slipping through the cracks. If we can prove the evidence, these decisions, these policy decisions are changed. And we have seen that as a direct result.
There's Rebecca George, Chief Exec of the Chamber of Commerce, and the fact that business needs some momentum, really, to get back to normal, to start earning money, to making profits, to paying people's wages. We're talking about people who are retired, perhaps earning money and getting jobs. And interestingly enough, the government's released the latest labour market report about three quarters of an hour ago. There were 465 fewer people unemployed in the Isle of Man in December compared to the same period a year before. The government's latest labour market report has been released. 291 people don't have a job on the 291 people economically active don't have jobs, two fewer than the previous month. So if there are all these jobs that are advertised that are there to be done to make the economy work better and for companies to be able to do their business better, if you're retired, would you go back to work? Would you want to go back to work if you didn't have to pay income tax? 12:45, Man in Line's on till 1.
The Nation Station, Men's Radio.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College.
Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
Selling your home can be a battle, but with a new £750 fixed fee for properties up to £350,000, it's a battle CG Red will help you win. We will sell them on the beachfront, in the fields and in the streets, and charge just £750. Because when it comes to giving you the best possible deal, we will never surrender.
Sell your home for just £750 with CG Red. Visit cgred.im.
Never was so much saved by so many than with CG Red.
Dine in at Pizzeria at Pizza Napoli Douglas. Open with a fully licensed bar and a wide range of new food offerings, including pasta, arancini starters, burgers, and of course, pizza. Order a full pizza or just buy the slice and check out our desserts menu. Dine in for an evening meal Tuesdays to Sundays. Call to book on 813 100. That's 813 100. Or online at pizzanapoli.im. Pizza Napoli.
Here at Island Fuels, we pride ourselves on giving the best personal service when it comes to providing fuels and filling your domestic oil tank. With no minimum delivery amount, we'll fill your tank with just what you need. Island Fuels are super flexible. We'll always go the extra mile to get you fast if you run out or need an urgent delivery. You'll soon get to know your friendly regular delivery driver from Island Fuels. So call us today on 247 645. Then, for plenty in the tank, I'll be seeing you.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio. Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your workend.
Manx Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12 minutes before 1, loads and loads of reaction to this and whether it is indeed the right time to remove COVID-19 restrictions, including the need to isolate if you have the illness. Sue said the Isle of Man is democratic. We don't live in an autocratic dictatorship. The mask and vaccine debate is still very much up for questioning. Mask wearing is just as many negatives, says Sue, as positives. If you've had your jabs, why worry if someone else masks or not? Mind your own business, says Sue. Furthermore, I've got no intention of letting them pump any more of that jungle juice into me. I think Sue means vaccine. Here's a message. Let's have a look here. I would take the license off them and make them test again, says this. What is this about? Sorry. Some things are coming through a bit corrupted. The railings were replaced very regularly because of the chipping that they did. Made them very weak, says Dave. Howard's correct. Walk along Marine Drive. Look at the railings, which have had no maintenance for many decades, but are still very solid. And a note in that just... I'll just get you this... message. Let me just see. Oh, it's the one. Yes, sorry. The electoral register story is as well. It's basically, this is an advert that says to make sure you vote, make sure you can vote, make sure your details are up to date if you moved house or if you recently turned 16. You'll not get a paper copy this year. If you go to gov.im electoral register for more information, follow the instructions and update your details. Or if you want more information, call the government, the electoral people on 686 754. The deadline is for the 17th of March. So it wasn't a news story. It was a commercial just before the news. So it's to make sure that you can vote, make sure your details are up to date, or if you've moved house or recently turned 16. Yeah. gov.im/electoral register for more information or call them on 685-754 before the 17th of March. Get it? Got it? Good. Thank you for that. A note in just says, just regarding those that fencing on Douglas Promenade, even when it was put on, that thick blue plastic, I think looked really cheap. Surely if they just put good quality metalwork on, and if you have to paint it every 2 years, so be it. It's obvious that the blue plastic fencing, the railings on Douglas Promenade, was something they thought wouldn't need any maintenance. It has no maintenance, and now, what is it, 24 years later, it is falling apart. Lots of comment in just regarding the COVID-19 story and, you know, exactly what's going to happen. We don't know. We haven't been told, by the way. Lots of people are saying, do you know something we don't know? No, we don't. We don't know. We don't know whether there's a media briefing from what exactly is going to happen. But the trajectory is that the number of cases is coming down. 1,190 as of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Well, that's way down. It was nearly 2,000 at one time, and around 2,000. So it is going down. We'll see where we go. Just regarding the MGP looking for confirmation for their plan for bad weather for delays. Adam's a hopeful newcomer for T2, who's concerned about the MGP changes. If the Classic doesn't happen, it's going to be a shame because either the Junior or Senior don't happen. The vast majority of these riders will be people trying to prove themselves to enter the TT. And as such, their whole budget and plans for TT the following year could be delayed by one day of rain. I had some messages in just say, could you give some more information about the Classic? The 2022 Manx Grand Prix is going to take place later this year with a number of changes for the festival. So it runs for 9 days, not 14, beginning on Sunday 21st, finishing on August Bank Holiday, Monday 29th. Now, the dates are, qualifying are Sunday 21st, there's afternoon qualifying, Monday 22nd, Tuesday 23rd, Wednesday 24th, Thursday 25th, evening qualifying. Friday 26th of August is morning qualifying. Racing will be Friday afternoon, the 26th of August, race 1. Saturday 27th, morning race 2, afternoon race 3. And bank holiday Monday, morning race 4, the 29th of August. And the afternoon is race 5. And again, if you want more information, go to manxradio.com. Everything is explained there as to what's going to happen. Different time this year. And TT 2022 on the way, not that far away. Fresh air never hurt anybody, by the way. It's too hot, being too hot that leaves you open for infection, says Jill. This is the story about some of the classrooms being very cold on the Isle of Man. COVID-19 classrooms. Have you heard this story? There was some comment about this story regarding basically going back to Victorian times and how pupils will be learning in freezing conditions. One of the Russian MHKs, Dr. Michelle Haywood, is going to ask about COVID-19 mitigations in schools in Tynwald. This week, she believes the Department of Education, Sport and Culture should be using HEPA filters to keep classrooms germ-free instead of opening windows.
We've got a strategy now for keeping children safe in schools that says open the windows and ventilate. And, of course, this is the wrong time of year to be opening windows and ventilating in the Isle of Man in January. So there are primary school children going to school in extra layers, extra coats, blankets even have been taken into schools. And to my mind, that seems like we're back to Victorian times with unheated schoolrooms. You know, notwithstanding the whole climate change impact of we are actually heating it and just pumping the heat straight out of the windows. But in order to keep children safe in classroom, we're opening windows and we're exposing them to really, really low temperatures. I've had parents complaining to me about children's illnesses being exacerbated by being cold all day, children being told off because they're wearing the wrong colour extra jumper. So we're kind of enforcing school uniform at a point when actually it's about how cold they are. And if you're really, really cold, you don't spend your time thinking about learning or actually learning anything. You spend your time worrying about how cold you are and how miserable you are. So I think we're creating almost an unsafe environment for our children to be in.
What else could they do?
I'm going to come back to the old one of it completely possible, both financially and from an engineering perspective, to install HEPA filters in classrooms. They are proven to work in small space settings. It's not even the expensive install filtration throughout the building thing. It's the standalone units that plug in. We have standalone heaters we're putting in schools, and we can't seem to put standalone HEPA filters in. And those HEPA filters are proven to filter COVID and other viruses out of the air. You would be able to have the heating on, the windows closed, the air filtered and safe for everyone to breathe. And I think everyone's learning would be enhanced by that situation.
There she is, Dr. Haywood. A note in just said, what a slanted view from Dr. Haywood. Children, kids need to be exposed to germs to build an immune system. Doesn't she want kids ill forever? Another one in just regarding the walk-in clinics. Are the walk-in clinics open? Well, yes, tomorrow and for the rest of the week, Chester Street Vaccination is up. Is open from 3 till 8, 8.45 till 2.15 on Saturday. Next week, they're out and about vaccination hubs. Next Tuesday, the 18th. Oh, sorry, tomorrow as well. There is one at Ramsey District Cottage Hospital. On Wednesday, there's one at UCIOM. On Thursday, Tyrosian in Port Erin's got one. On Friday 21st, this Friday, Chester Street will be open again, and the Western Wellbeing Centre in Peel will have one this Saturday as well. So all this week at Chester Street, tomorrow Ramsey Cottage Hospital, Wednesday UCIOM, Thursday Tyrosian, and Saturday Western Wellbeing Centre. And that's it. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Man in Line returns tomorrow at high noon.